is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could tune in. This week, we continue our exploration of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Along with his co-host, Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
Greg, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Tom.
We are in chapter 8 of Paul's epistle to the Romans, and we're going to pick up with verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Greg, one of the things I want to cover in these verses in which we're talking about the Spirit of God, you know, this program, if you're a first-time listener, it's called According to God's Word. But our main thrust here is to speak to Roman Catholics. Greg, you grew up Roman Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. But we're now born-again Christians. We have converted from the Gospel of Rome, which we believed and maybe never really understood that well as Roman Catholics, but we understand that well now. But we are now encouraging people to search the Scriptures, to go to God's Word and find the gospel of salvation according to God's Word, according to the Bible.
You're absolutely right. And we encourage all people to recognize that if you have a religious tradition, whatever it may be, if the Bible is going to contradict it, you have a serious problem. You have a dilemma, and you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow traditions, whatever they may be, whether it's Roman Catholic traditions or some other tradition? Or are you going to submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God and be saved thereby? So it's an easy choice if you know what both teach. The problem is, like you said, we grew up not thinking, not knowing something, but just being told what to believe.
Right.
And as a result, there are a lot of people in that boat. But, you know, verse 9 is a marvelous verse because Paul says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if here's first class, he's assuming it's true. So in other words, if the believer has trusted in Christ, he says, then the Spirit of God dwells in him. So you're no longer a servant of your own carnality. You're no longer a servant of the flesh. And you should do things accordingly. And then he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and it's sort of a sidebar here for our Jehovah's Witness friends, notice the interchange here, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, one and the same. So if you have the Spirit of God and you have the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God, so which demonstrates the deity of Christ. So he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're not indwelt with the Spirit, then you're not saved, which also is somewhat of a problem for many of the charismatics today, because their understanding is that the Spirit comes at some point after a person's salvation. Well, Paul says very clearly here, every believer is indwelt. It's the basis by which we're adopted and placed into the family of God. It's the basis by which we become eternally saved and become part of the family of God. And so Paul commends us here. Understand our position in Christ. You know, we belong to him. We're saved. Now live accordingly. Live appropriately.
Greg, let me go over those verses that, not by what you're saying, but these are verses from the Scripture. This is what the Word of God says with regard to the Holy Spirit and being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, in whom ye also trusted, that is, in Christ, whom you've also trusted, you put your faith in Christ. After that, ye heard the word of truth, that's the gospel of your salvation, he keeps underscoring it, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that is, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, sealed. We have been sealed. Those who believe in Christ have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest, or the guarantee of the Spirit in our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, Greg, my question is, I want to really refer to Roman Catholicism, which we've said you grew up as a Roman Catholic, and so did I. Greg, where did we ever hear about any of this, that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption?
Oh, never. Never taught that. You believe that you received Jesus when you got the host, and obviously as that passed through the system, you had to go receive him again. And you would get him again and again and again. And there was never any understanding of our position
right.
in Christ.
And the Spirit would go away when you
sure.
committed a mortal sin, right?
Right.
You would be out of the sanctifying grace. And if you die in that condition, you'd go directly to hell. But
absolutely.
How can you reconcile that with what the Word of God? I mean, I just went through four verses, you know, two in Ephesians, one in 1 Corinthians, one in 2 Corinthians, and we have all of these verses in Romans. Now, how is that reconciled with what we were taught as Catholic?
Well, you can't reconcile it, and that's why, as we've said on previous broadcasts, that if you were to go to Mass every Sunday for 50 years, you would never hear 70% of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You would never hear it read, because to hear it, what would someone think? I'll ask you this. How many times did you read those verses when you were Catholic growing up on your own?
Never.
Never, see?
Never.
You never read them. So you didn't know they existed. Didn't know they existed. I mean, I've had dialogues with priests, and I would quote a verse out of Corinthians or somewhere, and they would say, well, is that in the Bible? And I would say, well, sure. They said, show me that. I mean, they were totally unaware that
yeah.
those things existed.
Now, Greg, in their ignorance, and this is really what I'm trying to present here, don't you see how wonderful this is? That God, that by putting our faith in Christ, putting our trust in Him, He seals us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Our bodies, our beings become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And
right.
this is for our security. This is our confidence that and the promises. This is a down payment, you know,
right.
a guarantee of all that Christ has for us. It begins with putting our faith in Christ. How wonderful. Isn't this incredibly exciting?
The Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, this other comforter, parakaleo, that comes in and indwells us. The Scripture teaches that He'll never leave nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to Rome, He will. Or, if we don't believe He will, then we believe in the Holy Spirit can go to hell.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit goes to purgatory. Here we see in Romans that it seems the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, are all synonymous.
Right.
They're all one. You can't divide the Trinity and only get a third of the Trinity. You get God. God, you are the temple of God. God indwells you, and that's the good news. Now, can you lose that? Paul says, if we remember from reading Romans 5, Paul says, while we were His enemies, He died for us. Then how much more will He do after mm-hmm. we believe? So when we become a child of God, is He going to abandon us because we become a disobedient child and allow the flesh to have its way? We become carnal, carnally minded, and so then He is going to unseal us, kick us out of His family, disinherit us, and throw us in hell? That's absurd. That's not good news at all. It's bad news, and it really then would make it much better for a person to stay lost as long as they could, and at the last moment, if they mm-hmm. had the time, then get saved.
Right. This is something that Constantine figured out based upon his teachings, which had a strong Catholic orientation, even back then, all right? But he understood some in the church erroneously believed that how baptism saves you. So he was hanging out. He didn't want to be baptized until just before his death.
Sure.
But that's absurd. And again, what we're pointing out here is that this isn't my idea. It's not your idea. We have read the Scriptures here. We encourage. The name of the program is According to God's Word. We would encourage any and all of our listeners to go to the Scriptures that we're talking about, and you try and reconcile it with what you believed as a Roman Catholic, what you believe as a Roman Catholic, or anybody else who believes something that's contrary or seems to be at odds with what's being said here. if the seal could be broken, first of all, the scripture never says that, because it's, you were sealed until the day of redemption.
Yeah, it tells you how long you're sealed to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is, as you said, Greg, this is the wonderful good news, and that's what we want to share with people. Repeating verse 9 in Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," talking about believers, "if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Again, the Spirit of God doesn't come in because you receive this wafer, all right? The Spirit of God comes in when you receive Christ by faith, when you put your trust in Him for what He has fully accomplished for you on the cross. And only He could accomplish. He paid the full penalty for your sins. He's our substitute. He took the wrath of God. He paid the full penalty. And He has done that all for you, and all the only way you can receive that is by faith, by putting your trust in Him.
Well, you know, Tom, too, it says that the Spirit of God, not the flesh of God.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we no longer know Christ after the flesh. So Rome teaches what? You receive the literal flesh of Christ.
Unless you eat His flesh.
Right. And Paul is saying just the opposite here. We're not looking for someone who thinks he's ingesting Christ physically on an ongoing, repetitious means or basis. He's talking here about someone once for all who receives the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
That person is saved forever.
Yeah, but Greg, what if somebody said, well, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say that we're to eat His flesh?
Sure.
What does it mean by that?
Well,
does it really
tells
mean
us, he says, not in John 6:58, he says, not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, they ate it physically, and he says, are dead, but he that eateth or feeds upon this bread shall live forever. John 6:63, right. The words that I speak, they are spirit.
They are
life.
Spirit, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So that just lays it out very simply. If you are born again of the Spirit of Christ, then you have Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Spirit of Christ dwells within you. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, who can only be received by faith, then you're none of His. You just got to come to that understanding.
So if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're saved.
Right.
Okay. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not saved.
Right.
And if you have Him, you're saved forever. So if you have the Spirit of Christ, you don't need to go receive Him again and again and again and again, because He never leaves you. So again, if we just look at these simple verses here in Romans, it negates the very heart and soul of Catholic worship. It eliminates the need of anything called a Mass, anything called the sacrifice for sins for the living and the dead with the ingestion of Christ. It makes that a moot point and totally unbiblical.
Right. You see, men have a way, we talked about this last week, there's a way that seems right into a man. Call him a religious man. But when you begin to make up religion, when you begin to add things to God's Word, or add things that really reject, in fact, God's Word, you're lost. You have no way, and it's a delusion. And it's something that you're going to have to come to grips with, and the only way you're going to find out what is true, what the Lord wants, is to look to His Word, to search the Scriptures. Or else, again, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, destruction.
And again, we would challenge the listeners, if you've just tuned in for whatever reason, go back and read the first 7 chapters of Romans, and then bring that knowledge into Romans 8, and it's much clearer. Clearly, the first 3 chapters tells us that it's faith alone in Christ alone that brings everlasting life.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
This listener writes, "My nephew is engaged to a lovely young lady who is a Roman Catholic. His parents, who are strong evangelical Christians, are heartbroken about it. Their son had a solid Bible upbringing, but he will not be deterred in his desire to marry his fiance. What would you say to him?" Greg, we get a number of letters, and more, it seems, of evangelical young people marrying Roman Catholics. Now, at the risk of sounding intolerant, let me say it this way. If a evangelical, a young person, marries an unbeliever of any persuasion, I don't care whether it's Muslim, Hindu, somebody who professes to be, marginally believes he's a Christian but has not been born again. It isn't my idea here, okay? I'm not bringing my own bias, my own prejudice. As I mentioned earlier, and those who have been following this program know that the speakers on this program are all former Roman Catholics. So it's not as a bias against. I have relatives and loved ones who are Roman Catholic. But I have to fall back on what God's Word says, and that is a believer is not to be yoked with an unbeliever. And marriage, how much more yoked can you be with a person? You become one flesh. How can you be a believer and be of one flesh with a non-believer, whether they be Roman Catholic or otherwise?
Well, you know, Tom, I get this question all the time, and obviously in South Louisiana, it's really problematic because you have such a deficient teaching in evangelical circles today about this. And so, and we have this phenomenon known as dating evangelism now, where the believer is dating the heathen of whatever persuasion, mm-hmm. supposedly with the purpose of winning them to Christ. Now, the driving force behind this, firstly, is lust, and then maybe it evolves into love. The point is, though, from God's viewpoint, and you made the case, there's a command not to be unequally yoked. You know, the Lord says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't be partakers of both. Now, those are strong words, but those are not my words.
Right.
Paul says that. And so you have a man who's going to marry a girl who's probably, from a human perspective, maybe a wonderful girl, maybe a real sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But from a spiritual perspective, she's not regenerate. And then they're going to have children. How are the children going to be raised? In the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? They're going to be brought up to understand the gospel? And you're going to find if the young man is weak at this point, that he's going to concede to her to abandon biblical truth to placate and to appease her, he'll do the same thing with the raising of his own children. And that's what we find today. We find so many Christians, quote-unquote evangelical Christians, whose children are just abandoning ship because I think of a deficient biblical upbringing. They don't see things from God's perspective at all. They don't think those things are important. And I think it's really creating a problem for many homes.
Well, let's just look at marriage. Greg, you mentioned, you, Cindy, you have five children. Peggy and I have five children. We know a little bit about marriage, okay?
A little bit.
I've been married 35 years, okay? Now, marriage is a tough deal. You have two people, and you're going to have problems. You have different minds about different things, maybe some cultural differences. You know, who knows? But what I'm getting at is it is a difficult thing, even under the best circumstances, because of our tendencies for pride and self-will and all of that. Now, for the believer, at least, and it's more than at least, when you both know the Lord, it's the Lord that you go to resolve. It's His Word. You have a resource. You have someone to go to work out your problems with. David said, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And, you know, so we bring our faults, our sins to God, and we confess those, and that's going to bring reconciliation. I don't care what the problem is. You have Christ at the head of your house to do that. And believers don't always do that, but they have that available to them. What about somebody who's married to someone who wouldn't care about that? They're not going to go to the Lord. They're into their own thing, and there's no way that because they don't know Him, they don't have the Spirit of Christ within them, reconciliation is going to be in the flesh, and it may work for a while, but it's...
Well, you're right, and you know, I'm a living testimony of that, because I was a very good Roman Catholic, multiple generation. Cindy was a third-generation Jehovah's Witness, and love supersedes everything, didn't consider religious membership at all. She did kind of her thing, I kind mm-hmm. of did mine, but when you have the byproduct, or at least what purpose for marriage is procreation, when when a child comes along, it's, well, we have to be spiritual. We have to do something for the child. Then it's, how do you raise your children?
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it was, well, no, they're going to be Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, no way. They're not going to be, you know, walking neighborhoods in some cult, and they're going to be Catholic. Well, I'm going to tell you, that got to the point where it was irreconcilable. There was going to be, either we were going to come to some mutual agreement, or there was going to be divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that led us to Christ, but that's the exception rather than the rule, because normally it leads to some sort of separation, or someone has to just throw in the towel and give up. Now, when both people are lost, really it's a moot point. It doesn't make any difference whether you go to hell as one religious persuasion or another. But when we have a believer marrying the lost person, that's really the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If the believer is willing to surrender their convictions, or what should be their convictions going in, well, then they're going to readily surrender their convictions where their children and other decisions are, come forth. It's a very, very tragic, tragic thing. And I can't tell the listeners enough that if you have children, they need to understand the importance of the passages that the Lord is talking to them, particularly about, firstly, being obedient to their own parents and the reasons why, but then secondly, who they are in Christ and fulfilling their mission, not being treasonous and joining up with the enemy. And that's, in essence, what they're doing. Of course, in our culture today, it's not viewed that way. All religions are equally good, so liberal community says, but according to the Word of God, that's just unfounded. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
Greg, what about somebody who'd say, well, you know, you mentioned evangelistic dating or something like that. What about somebody who'd say, well, I want to bring them to Christ. We're going to get married, and then I'm going to bring them to Christ.
Well, bring them to Christ before you date them. Give them the gospel. If they reject the gospel, then what do you have in common? They've rejected your Savior. They've rejected the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've rejected the one that you say you've put your faith in, and the one that you say is the preeminent one of your life. They've rejected that. So how can you go a step further?
Yeah. And if it's really love, and in most cases it's lust, it's desire, you know, the person is attractive, you think they're going to meet all of your needs, well, it's not going to happen. And particularly with regard to eternity, if you are born again, sealed with the Holy Spirit, unto the day of redemption, this person who doesn't come to Christ is not going to be with you for eternity.
Exactly. And, you know, and some people say, well, the pickings are so slim, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, God is sovereign. God, if it's in his plan for you to be married, live happily ever after, he has a person picked out for you. He'll get you that person. Don't worry. Just be patient. Take a cold shower. Read the book of Proverbs every day. That's the best advice I can give for anybody that's thinking about marrying someone that's not a believer.
Well, we've been quoting the book of Proverbs. Twice in the book of Proverbs, the verse says, there is a way that seems right unto a man. It may seem to right to you. She may seem to be the perfect one and so on. But pull back a bit and look, if it's going to be your way, you're going to have to live with it and reap what you sow here. If you do it God's way, God is going to honor that. And, you know, still, as we said, marriages can be a struggle. But if you have those who know the Lord and are willing to abide in his word, willing to do what God says, it's going to work out. It's going to bear fruit.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0504. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.